I'm sure that in your lifetime you have either received an invitation to some sort of an event, or you have been in the position where you have sent invitations out for a particular event. Now, the times when you've received them, there have been times when you have accepted the invitation and you have attended whatever the event is, and then there have been times when you haven't accepted them for whatever reason may be. Maybe there was something else that was already scheduled. Maybe you just didn't want to go. But no matter what happens, there is a decision that needs to be made when there's an invitation that is sent out. In just a few moments, we're going to look at an invitation to a wedding banquet out of the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. I want to encourage you to grab your Bible. Come on back in just a moment as we begin our Bible study together. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. This is Pastor Roy, and we're so glad that you're taking these moments and opportunities to join us as we gather around the Word of God today. Now, a moment ago, I mentioned to you that we're going to be looking at a scripture text that comes out of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22, and it's dealing with an invitation to a wedding banquet. Let's look at our passage and then we'll unpack it a little bit as we go forward. So read with me along if you would, Matthew's Gospel chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading at verse 2. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out another servant saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf are killed, and they are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it, and they went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity once again to gather around your word. We pray, Lord, that once again we will have the opportunity to learn from your word. Lord, we pray that your word will draw us close. And Father, as always, if there is one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, we pray that the conviction would be there as you stand and knock at their heart's door. And Lord, we pray that you would give them the courage to be able to open that door, that today might be the day of salvation for them, and that they may be able to experience eternal life that has been paid for by the shed blood and the resurrection of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, bless me as your messenger for these few moments that we will spend together in your word. And Lord, may we truly lift you up as you draw all men unto you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we look at these particular passages in our text of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, there's some interesting things that we want to look at. First of all, we're continuing our look at parables. And remember what a parable is. A parable is a story that is told that people can understand, that kind of bring forth a biblical truth, okay? And the parable of the wedding banquet spoken by Jesus was spoken to those who were the chief priests and the Pharisees. In this part of this particular parable, Jesus uses these words to convey truths about the kingdom of heaven. So what are we going to learn? What do we learn about the kingdom of heaven, particularly in regard to this parable? Okay, the parable describes a king who prepares a wedding banquet for his son. Now, initially invited guest declined this particular invitation, leading to the king to invite others. Now, notice what it says in the word. It said both good and bad. Okay, so the parable illustrates God's invitation to his kingdom through Jesus Christ, the salvation that we talk very often about. So when we think about this, what is the biblical truth that he is trying to teach? And once again, one of the things that he's trying to teach us here is that God's invitation to his kingdom is through Jesus Christ. Now, the originally invited guest that we read about here are a representation of Israel. Remember what the story with Israel was. It said that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. His own accepted him not. They didn't believe that he was the long-awaited and long-prophesied Messiah. Okay, the originally invited guests represent Israel who rejected Jesus Christ. Okay, the invitation extends to all, symbolizing the inclusion of the Gentiles and the sinners. Now, so often people have said this, what would have happened if Israel would have accepted Jesus? Would that have meant that salvation would have been for just the Jewish people or just Israel? Would it have included the Gentiles even up until this day? Now, I want to give you an answer that I believe with all of my heart. Once again, I always tell our people this. I say, when I'm giving you my opinion, I'll call it the gospel according to Roy. But here's the way I feel about this situation. I believe that the original plan, and I can't prove this in Scripture, but was that if Israel would have accepted Christ, then Israel would have become the evangelical arm to the whole world. I don't believe that God's mind was changed. And he said, just simply because my people Israel reject me, then I'm just going to open it up to the Gentiles. I believe there was always a plan for salvation for all, because the word tells us he would that none should perish, and none would include the Gentiles. I've often been asked this question as well. People say, how do you know who the Gentiles are? I have a real simple answer to that question, and maybe you're asking that to yourself. And you'll say, am I considered a Gentile? Well, if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. Plain and simple. That's very easy. I know that I'm not Jewish. That makes me a Gentile. Most of the people that I know aren't Jewish, and therefore that would make you a Gentile as well. But the invitation through this particular parable extends to all, and that was a symbolization of the inclusion of the Gentile people along the way. Now, consider how we respond to God's invitation today. Now, so many people sit back and say, I don't understand. Now, let me talk about salvation for just a minute, because this is critical, okay? You know, there's often been the passage that we talk about where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." I've always said that Christ doesn't force his way into your life. He doesn't force his way into anybody's life, but he will stand at the door and knock. And as you hear that knock, that's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's what you feel inside your heart, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, you've also heard me say that in and of our sinful selves, we don't even have the capability of seeking God. But God seeks us, and his Holy Spirit knocks on that heart's door. The question is, will we open the door and allow him to come in? So for a moment, the question I asked you just a second ago was, consider how we respond to God's invitation today. Are we receptive, and are we ready to participate in God's kingdom? Okay? What is the significance of the robe that we read about in this parable? Okay? It was very interesting what happens at the end, and sometimes people wind up being very confused about that. So, you know, here's somebody who was invited in, the king shows up, and he says, "Hey man, this guy's not dressed properly for the occasion." So what is the significance of the robe in the parable? Okay, one of the guests was found without a wedding robe and was subsequently thrown out of the wedding. Okay, the robe symbolizes being appropriately prepared to enter the kingdom, signifying righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We must be ready. We must stand ready. So how do we interpret this? When we think about these things that go through our mind, how is it that we get a grasp on this? Well, this suggests that while All are invited. Entering the kingdom requires accepting and being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Simply being invited is not enough if we don't accept what's necessary for participation. Now, let me kind of clear this up a little bit. I hope and pray that this will clear this up. You know, I have said this before. There are plenty of places throughout the Bible, and I think that oftentimes we as pastors and churches can be guilty of leading people astray when it comes to salvation. Now, you know, the Word of God does say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know that age-old verse that says we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe that to be true wholeheartedly. But what happens is too often, you know, we have people who have an experience, not necessarily a genuine experience. They'll say, well, I prayed with the preacher. I've checked my box off. I'm saved. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Well, yeah, I don't want to say that there is something that needs to be done work-wise to follow, but yet we also read in God's Word where he goes on later on in the book of James, and he says that faith without works is dead. Now, I want to kind of clear this up a little bit. We are truly saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, and it is not of works. However, when you trust Jesus, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, there's some significant things that should happen. We should have a desire to serve him. We should have a desire to get in his word. We should have a desire to be a child of the king in the manner that he sees pleasing. We should desire to walk with him and talk with him in accordance to what the word of God teaches us, okay? So, you know, when we think about that, you know, too many people, I believe, are going to sit in the pew of a church and go straight to hell because they had some sort of an emotional experience rather than a genuine conversion experience with Christ. Now, you know, in other words, it's not that my works are going to save me, but I should have good works because of my faith. All right. So this suggests that while all are invited, entering the kingdom requires accepting and being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now, notice what I said a moment ago. Simply being invited is not enough if we don't accept what's necessary for participation. You know, one of the things, too, that I kind of relate back to this particular passage is that there is a scripture that simply says this, that not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Remember, it's not because of your works, but your good works should reflect the change in your heart as you have trusted Jesus Christ. Okay? So I want you for just a moment to reflect on your own spiritual attire. Okay, I like to use that because he was talking about the robe in this particular parable that we're looking at. So reflect upon your own spiritual attire for a few moments. Are we relying on our righteousness or are we clothed with the righteousness of Christ? All right, is it all about me or are we allowing our clothing to be the righteousness of Christ? Okay, examine your relationship with Jesus this week. That's my challenge for you. Are there areas that you've yet to fully submit to him? Are there things that the Holy Spirit has been bringing up in your heart and bringing up in your life that you have yet to fully surrender to him? I'm not talking about partial surrender. I'm not saying it's kind of like that situation where you sit back and say, well, Lord, you have all my heart except this area over here. This is off limits. No, that's not what he's asking for. Are there areas that you have yet to fully submit to him? Yeah, if you identify those as the Holy Spirit brings them to light, pray for his guidance to be suitably prepared for his kingdom. Yeah, how many times have we read throughout the Word of God that the time of his coming is going to be when none of us are expecting it? So we need to be ever prepared. We need to stand ready that if the trumpet sounds and the Lord calls the dead in Christ up and the rest of us are caught up in the air to meet him, that we're ready for that. We're not sitting back saying, well, I needed to do this and I needed to do that and I should have repented here and I should have done these different things. Get those things taken care of now as the Holy Spirit leads you along your spiritual journey in this life. Okay, so let me ask you, another question in light of our passage today. What lesson can we derive from the rejection of the guest and the subsequent invitation of others. This is going back up. Remember, there were a bunch of people that were invited. There was this big guest list, and there were those that just decided not to come. They're like, man, I don't want to go do that. I don't want to be a part of this this king's son's wedding. I got better things to do, or I've got other things to do, or more important things to do, or I just flat out don't want to go at all, whatever the case may be. What are the lessons that we can derive from the rejection of the guest and the subsequent invitation to others? So remember, those that were invited that just kind of were flippantly going, I'm not going or whatever, the king says, oh, okay, that's not a problem. You go out into the highways, in the hedges, and I love how it's written in another translation that I grew up with, but it says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Are we doing some compelling as God's people? You know, we know what the banquet's going to be like. As born-again believers, we know and understand what God has prepared for us. And He is wanting us as believers to go out and compel them. That doesn't mean just simply go out and say, hey, you know, Jesus saves. It's like, hey, listen, you know, we do everything we can to pull them in and compel them. We need to give them, you know, the not only the words, and we say, look, man, you got to come check this out, man. I won't take no for an answer. Come on to the banquet with me. Are we doing that? Are we compelling others to come to Christ? Okay, remember what we ask. What can we derive from the rejection of the guest and the subsequent invitation of others? The rejection of certain guests signifies that many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I tell you, I hope that those words right there resonate with you, and you ask yourself, am I one of the ones that are chosen? Now, don't go getting crazy theologically with that, you know, because I believe that the gospel is for each and every person. I believe that He would that none should perish. I believe that everybody has that opportunity to come to Christ. But notice what He says at, you know, particularly at the end of that that passage that we read. What was it that we read in the very last verse of our text today? Let me go back a little bit. And when it talks about that guest, it says, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. This is the one that showed up without the wedding garment. The king said, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then this is how it finishes up. For many are called, but few are chosen. The question is, have you heard the call? Are you one of those that are chosen to walk in His path? Now, I'm not trying to get into some theological debate over Calvinism versus Arminianism or any of those type things. I've always said this, that it seems to me that the more people I tell about Jesus, the more people trust Him. We'll let the good Lord sort all those things out when we get in His presence. Then we will know, and we will know perfectly. But God extends a gracious invitation to all. But it is our responsibility. Did you get that? God extends a gracious invitation to all. But it is our responsibility to respond with faith and to live out that decision through a transformed life. And that sums it up right there in a nutshell. Let me give that to you one more time. If you don't hear anything else in the Bible study, be sure that you hear this. God extends a gracious invitation to all. That's everyone. But it is our responsibility to respond with faith and to live out that decision through a transformed life. You see, the Word will transform us. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We are transformed through Christ, okay? So this week, as you go through this week, why don't you make time to share the message of God's invitation with somebody in your life? Folks, let me tell you this. The people in your life are not there by accident. I use the term sphere of influence. The people that are in your life, whether they're neighbors, coworkers, whoever it may be, those people that are in your sphere of influence aren't there by accident. They need to hear your story. They need to hear your testimony. They need to hear your witness. So I want you to think about that. This week, make a time, I didn't say take time. I said make time, because all of us are busy. We all need to make time to do these things. So make time to share the message of God's invitation with someone in that sphere of influence in your life. Discuss their understanding of what it means to accept God's invitation and to enter His kingdom. Now, oftentimes people say, well, that sounds like a witnessing method. Well, yeah, it can be. You know, one of the greatest questions that I ask, particularly getting a conversation started with somebody that I'm speaking with, I'll ask this question. I'll say, well, let me ask you a question. In your personal opinion, everybody's got an opinion. That's not harmful. You know, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a right to have their opinion. So my question will be, in your personal opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? And then I will let them explain that to me. Now, if they can explain it in a way that says that they understand the truth and how salvation is procured, and that they understand that Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected and coming again is the only way to heaven, and they've accepted Him, then we will celebrate together. But I will tell you, I cannot tell you the number of times that somebody has said, well, I had a great emotional experience when I was at camp, mountaintop, and I was on a mountaintop, and the breeze blew, and I had cold chills, and I knew at that point I was saved. Folks, that's not it. But yet there are people who go through their life believing that what they had was a salvation experience, and it was far from it. That goes back to the passage that we just read where it says, but many are called and few are chosen. Okay? Not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. The transformed life is what's going to make a difference. And if you're following the Lord in the manner that you should, and you are allowing His Spirit to guide you, and you are maturing, and you are growing in His grace, and growing in His faith, then the people in the world around you are going to see that. There is no doubt. They are going to know that there is something different about you. Some will want to know what it is. What a tremendous opportunity to witness to them. Some will turn their backs on you. The bottom line is, walk with the Lord. Do what is right. And see this thing through to the very, very end. You know, the question is, are you showing up properly dressed for the party? Now, we don't know when the wedding feast is going to start, but I know this, we need to be properly clothed. I'm not talking about physical clothing, but I am talking about the spiritual clothing, just like what we've read about in our parable today. We need to stand ever ready to meet our Maker within this next millisecond, because we truly could. So my question for you is this, are you ready? If you had to stand before the Father in the next moment, would you be one of those that is dressed properly to come in to the banquet, to come in to the wedding feast? I hope and pray that you are. Now listen, if you're not, if you never accepted Christ, if you've never trusted Him, then you can do that right now. You don't have to have anything special. I call this the handshake. I can introduce you to the Father. And you can simply bow your head and say, Father, today I realize that I am a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive my sin, come into my life, and save my soul. Now help me, Father, to live in a way that's pleasing to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, I can promise you that if you did that, then the Lord heard your call. That was you hearing the knock at the door, opening the door, and allowing Him to come in. Now, it's not about just letting Him in. It's about getting to know Him. How do you get to know Him? You get to know Him through prayer. You get to know Him through His Word. You know, so many people before have said, you know what, I've read the Bible so many times, and it just doesn't make sense to me. And then what happened was, after they trusted Christ with their life, after they were saved, all of a sudden now they understand it, and they say, I can't explain it. Well, I can. You now have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your guide. So I hope and trust and pray that if you trusted Christ, that you're going to get into His Word, and you're going to allow Him to lead you and teach you, and I promise it'll be the greatest journey that you have ever undertaken in your life. I also want to encourage you to get involved and plugged into a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Get yourself involved with some discipleship groups. If you do this right, man, discipleship is one of the greatest things on the planet. I love my discipleship group. I know that there's a group that's been started out of my discipleship group. Those guys love each other. They can't wait to get together just to brag on Jesus and to talk about His Word. If you would like to do that, if you happen to be in the Greensboro, Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we welcome you to come and visit us at Central Baptist Church. We'll get you plugged in to some of those discipleship groups and discipleship opportunities that we have at Central Baptist Church. But I hope and trust and pray that first and foremost, as we conclude our time together today, that you can say, I am truly a born-again believer, and I know that if I close my eyes on this earth, I will open them in the presence of the Father in the place called heaven. Let me pray with you, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what we're going to be looking at next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your name, Lord, for your word. Lord, I just pray that you will truly help each and every one of us to be properly ready for when the time comes that you're going to call us out of this place. Lord, I pray that we will stand in our wedding garments ready to be a part of the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray that we will accept that invitation. And Lord, particularly for those who haven't, I pray they will hear your call and accept that invitation sooner than later. So Lord, I pray that you'll give us each a great week. I pray that you'll help us to pay attention to opportunities that you give us to share your Son in the everyday life that we have, whether it's work, whether it's our neighbors, whatever it may be, that sphere of influence. Help us, Lord, to be all you want us to be in that sphere of influence for you. And Lord, we will ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, once again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Next week, or actually your Bible reading for this week, I want you to spend a little bit of time reading John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Next week, we're going to discuss the sheep, the gate, and the shepherd from John chapter 10, particularly verses 1 through 5, and then verses 7 through 18. So be studied up on that, spend a little time in there, and we'll look forward to gathering together at this same time next week. And as for joining us, thank you so much for doing that. We would love for you to join us on a Sunday morning here at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. You can also find directions from the website that you see on your screen throughout the broadcast that we do each Wednesday for our Wednesday Bible study. And then as always, if you have any questions, you can feel free to give us a call. The number's on our website. You can shoot us an email, whatever. We will happily respond to you. Our service times are at 10:45 on Sunday mornings, but we do have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, small groups, and then during the school year, we have Awana for our kids, and then also some youth opportunities as well. We would love to see you. If you come on down, be sure to introduce yourself to me. I'm Pastor Roy. I would love to have an opportunity to meet you, maybe spend a little time with you. But anyway, God bless. Have a great week, and I hope to see you Sunday.